Major support for Out to Lunch on WWNO provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with more than 375 attorneys and offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base, JonesWalker.com, and from Iberia Bank, offering comprehensive banking services designed to meet the needs of consumer, small business, and commercial clients, serving Louisiana clients for 128 years, and now serving a regional base with a commitment to developing people and investing in its communities, IberiaBank.com. Additional support comes from Luba Workers' Comp and 30 North Investments.
From Commander's Palace Restaurant in the Garden District in New Orleans, we're out to lunch with Peter Ricchiuti. Peter Ricchiuti is Tulane University's A.B. Freeman School of Business professor and economist. It's business, New Orleans style.
Hi, I'm Peter Ricchiuti. Welcome to Out to Lunch. We're all familiar with the inspiring biography of Steve Jobs. Steve started out in his garage and ended up with the biggest company in the world. We know similar tales of Ray Kroc turning a single hamburger joint into McDonald's and Sam Walton's Arkansas store that became Walmart. The stories of successful businesses like these are mostly written by publicists. In their repeated telling, they become romanticized, and the thumbnail sketches mostly omit details like, where did they get the money from to finance this business? When you're starting out, one of the biggest hurdles to success is paying for rent and groceries before your business starts to make a profit. In New Orleans, you may be able to get some help with that. The NOLA Angel Network is a group of folks that have been successful themselves and are prepared to invest in new companies at the very beginning of their life. Scott Whitaker is an angel investor and a member of the board of NOLA Angel Network. Scott, welcome out to lunch.
Happy to be here, Peter.
Glad you're
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm glad you're with us. Maybe you don't have a brilliant business idea that's going to change the world. Maybe you have a regular business or even a church or a school, but you don't have an MBA and you don't know much about growing a business. That's where TrepWise can help. TrepWise can be your chief operating officer, chief financial officer, or chief marketing officer. They'll grow your business using entrepreneurial innovation while you stick to doing what you're good at. The founder and managing director of TrepWise is Kevin Wilkins. Kevin, welcome out to lunch.
Hey, Peter, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Great. Now, Scott, over the past few years, we've seen New Orleans change from being a place that people leave if they want to make it to a city people move to for entrepreneurial opportunities. So it makes sense that there would also be investors here looking for new opportunities. What is perhaps more surprising is that your group of Louisiana angel investors is reportedly one of the fastest growing angel investment groups of all time. What's going on? Have we really reached a level here that's comparable to Silicon Valley or in New York?
Not yet.
Not yet.
We're working on it, though. We are working on it. It is exciting times here in New Orleans when it comes to entrepreneurial spirit, entrepreneurism, and investors and access to capital. You said that for years and years people left New Orleans in order to start their business, raise the capital, find the money in order to get launched. Now they're staying here, and the big difference is now there's access to capital. It's starting to be access to capital. We're still a long way away from what Silicon Valley is in the technology area, or what Boston, for example, is in the biotech area. But we are making great strides, and the fact that the NOLA Angel Network is one of the fastest growing, well, I take that back, it is the fastest growing angel network in the United States. We've been started 18 months ago, and we're right at 120 members or so right now, and these are all accredited investors with capital they look to deploy to help startup companies grow and prosper.
But tell me how it works with an angel investor. Like, you're here, I assume under that suit you do not have wings or anything like that. What is this about?
I keep my halo hidden, what an angel investor simply is an investor who is willing to take a risk on a startup stage company. Once a company is already established and is profitable and has a lot of promise to it, then there are venture capitalists, private equity, and other types of investment channels that you could go to, including regular bank debt, for example. But when you're a startup company and you might not have anything but an idea, it's hard to find the money. And usually an entrepreneur with an idea will get started by what we call bootstrapping, which is
sometimes friends and family.
It's friends and family, credit cards.
Right,
exactly. And however you could beg, borrow, I don't want to say steal, but they'll raise the money any way they can to get it going. And once they've taken it as far as they can with bootstrapping, they need the next level, and that's where the angels come in.
Now, Kevin, one of the pieces of wisdom we hear about taking a business to another level is that business owner, they need to learn the difference between working in their business and working on their business. For someone who might be a great cook or a dentist, that's probably not easy. I believe that's where TrepWise comes in. You become the partner with the Harvard MBA that small business owners wish they had. Is this a model that exists in other cities, or did you create it?
Well, it's interesting, Peter. We are very much, I call ourselves an impact consulting company. So we actually roll up our sleeves, meet the entrepreneurs where they are, and really help them get it done. We're not theoretical. We're not academic. We don't do fancy presentations.
You just throw around the Harvard MBA.
It's much more of a practical approach. And I think that's what New Orleans is looking for right now.
What do you take in? Do you take an equity position? Do you charge them a fee? How does that work?
So it's fee for service. We actually work with both nonprofits and for-profits. 40% of our base is nonprofit-oriented. 60% is for-profit. And the acumen that we bring is much more of a business lens. So I often say we're industry agnostic. In the nonprofit space, often it's about sustainability and how can we use innovation to help diversify revenue streams so they're less dependent on grants and perhaps we can create some earned revenue concepts. In the for-profit space, it's about scale. So these companies are doing really well. When you were small and you made the donuts a certain way, you could do it right in the kitchen and you could sell them in the front room. But when you have 7 new locations, you have to make the donuts differently. So what type of operational infrastructure do you need to build? I often say that these entrepreneurs are making a huge promise. They see a problem in the marketplace and they've come up with a really innovative solution, and that's what we call their promise. As they grow, their promise doesn't change, but how they deliver their promise is going to have to change in order to achieve scale.
Now, Kevin, what about, you must have clients that are prospective clients that come in. You don't take them all. What do you look for in one that's going to work for you?
So you're right. We don't take them all. The criteria is pretty straightforward. Do we believe in the entrepreneur, first and foremost? Do we believe that their insight is really compelling? Is the problem that they're trying to solve real, and is it big? Do we believe that they have an innovative solution? And then finally, do we believe that we can help them? And if you meet that 4 checklist across both the nonprofit space and for-profit space, then we will take you on as a client.
And how long would your engagement last?
Our engagements tend to last pretty long. You know, I structure them usually depending on the scope from anywhere to 4 to 6 months, depending on what they need. But oftentimes, you know, if the companies or the organizations see the value, they tend to keep us around to continually evolve their model. So our average client is probably around 12 months.
Wow. Now, Scott, where does the money come from in the angel investors? I would mana from heaven, of course, works pretty well here in the analogy. But they what?
Angel investing is private money, and an angel is an accredited investor. Now, accredited investor is a legal term. And that's a term
you can lose all your money?
It means that you've got enough money that the government doesn't have to protect you from losing it.
Is
a good way to think of it.
Right.
And the definition of accredited investor is set by the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission. It's really wealth and income. It's $1 million worth of net worth, excluding your home. Or $200,000 or $300,000 a year of income for, depending on if you're married, for 3 years. And
wow.
So if you meet those criteria, then you're allowed to invest without the protections that non-accredited investors would have.
But Scott, help me visually. The Angel Network gets together at a round table like this, and is it like a poker game? You all put some money in?
No, it's not. The angel groups operate in different ways. One can operate like a fund, where you have a fund manager, and the angels would put their money into it, and then the fund manager makes the investment decisions. Okay. That's not how the NOLA Angel Network works. The way the NOLA Angel Network works is every individual makes their own investment decisions. And so what we do is we have monthly meetings. And before those monthly meetings, we have screening teams. And the screening teams would screen prospective entrepreneurs to present at the monthly meetings. If you make it past the screening, and actually there's a pre-screening too, you make it past the screening team, you get to present at the monthly meeting. And then there's a 15-minute presentation, and then a Q&A after that, and then the entrepreneur leaves, and we bat it around.
Who wins when you, I guess everybody, of course, listening is thinking of Shark Tank, but I mean, how do you, one of the things I get in trouble with in this is I sometimes get swayed by the persuasion of the presentation itself, you know, because and you got to separate that from the idea.
Right, exactly, and that's where the Angel Network really does. That's one of the benefits of being in the Angel Network, is there is a very disciplined approach in the Angel Network, and started describing about the presentation. That's just the first presentation. If there's enough interest among the group to go further, the investment decision is not made at the first presentation. There's a due diligence team that's formed, and then we do a very disciplined due diligence process over the next 30 days on the company, the entrepreneur, the market, the product, the market potential. All the things we feel are important to investment decision, and then that due diligence team presents at the following month's meeting the results. And it's only after that presentation that the investment decision is made, either yes or no, and how much. And each angel in the network gets to make their own investment decision as to whether they invest in any particular deal and how much they want to invest in any particular deal.
And we often actually help clients get ready for that process.
Oh, that would make sense.
How do they package themselves? How do they tell their story? How do they get organized for due diligence? Because it's quite a rigorous process that the New Orleans Angels network has in place.
And the same thing if they had to go make a bank presentation.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
bank presentation. Very similar. Or if they're pursuing venture capital.
Wow. Now tell me, what do you guys take? Like, you take a fee for the work you do.
Correct.
Do you guys take a piece of the action, or?
Well, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
We'll invest in the company in return for an equity stake in the company.
Now, so most of us are familiar with investing in stocks and bonds, and they're liquid, and you call a broker, but these are very illiquid investments.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. They're very liquid, high-risk investments. So, you know, obviously the angels are looking for a high growth potential company and a high return potential company, knowing that out of maybe 10 investments, you're only going to have five that make it, and of those five, you'll have three that maybe you might break even on, or maybe get your money back, or maybe not get all your money back, and you're looking for one or two.
And that would be
really
a home run.
Hit the home run on one or two out of 10, but it all makes it worthwhile. If you are disciplined in your approach, the statistics show that a portfolio of startup company investments with a disciplined, due diligence-driven approach can return a 30% per annum compounded return on your investment, which is pretty good. But you do have to be disciplined, and you have to be willing to lose that money every time you invest it, because it is a high-risk investment.
Do the angels, do you ask for reporting, like milestones? They have to come in every quarter to talk to you or things like that?
Well, the part of having equity in these startup companies is, access to information and reporting requirements. So they don't necessarily come back to the angel group, but we will have oftentimes a member of the investing group on the board or on the advisory board that would report back. And the company would have to give quarterly or annual, at least annual reports, to all the investors. So you would have that as a typical term in the investment.
Now, Kevin, let's say you've got a client, you're working with them, you think they've got a good idea, and they're going to make a presentation to either a bank or to Scott with the Angel Network. What do you prep them for?
Well, you want to make sure they're telling their story in the most compelling fashion. So do they have all the elements in place? Have they really distilled down the problem they're trying to solve? Is their solution innovative and defensible? How big is the marketplace, and how are they going to win in the marketplace? What's their revenue model and expense model? How are they going to make money at this? Where are the scalability levers? Why are they qualified to answer this problem? Why are they the ones that should be building this business? Do they have the right organizational structure in place and the right people around them? So we make sure all the key components that an investor would be looking for, starting with management and management team, are really capable of seeing through this vision. And is the vision compelling?
And so, Kevin, you've been through so many of these, you kind of can help them answer the questions before the questions are asked,
right.
I guess. Scott, Kevin, let's do a round of one quick question. These are questions that have come in from listeners. I'm going to ask you one each. I'll start with Scott. Here's a question from Zane Lendl. Zane says, I have an idea for an app that is original, and I think it would sell. It's going to cost $10,000 to get it built, which I don't have, and neither do friends or family. The app is so simple that anyone could do this once they heard it. How do I get $10,000 without pitching my idea to people who could easily steal it?
Well, that's a common issue that people do face, and the typical way that it's dealt with is through a confidentiality agreement or a non-disclosure agreement. You know, you would have that, have your potential investor sign that before you told them the idea. And obviously, you would have to trust that person as well, because there's no such thing as an ironclad contract, and people, you know, can breach contracts. So you want to have some level of trust in the people that you're dealing with, but that's the way it's usually handled, with a non-disclosure agreement.
This is a good answer, because I think a lot of people thought, darn, I would have to go through the patent process and protect it first. This is a lot easier.
Well, yeah, and I don't know that the app would be patentable either.
Oh,
you know, there's certain things. Ideas are not patentable. They're not copyrightable. They're not protectable. Although certain products or processes can be patented, and original works can be copyrighted, and so you can get legal protection on those areas too. But just the idea for a business is not protectable.
Kevin, this is from E.G. Lehman, and E.G. says, I'm wary of consultants and self-proclaimed experts. If people know how to make businesses successful, why don't they have their own businesses?
Well, E.G., I totally hear you. I absolutely.
I thought you were going to go at E.G.'s throat.
No,
that was
no.
I was really looking forward to this.
I agree. There's a lot of consultants out there. And you often hear the expression, those who can't teach, you know?
Right.
So I would say it's not so much, I wouldn't cluster consultants as a category. I would actually look at what issues you're challenged with and who is the best advisor to really help you. And that advisor should have a track record, right? So in my situation, I've run many companies. I've done a lot of startups. So I've had that experience. And actually, I established the company because I wanted to make an impact in New Orleans. So I wanted to kind of leverage my experience and give back in a meaningful way.
You know, but somebody like yourself, Kevin, would you, you're so full of energy and so many ideas. This suits you better than maybe just a single company you were running, do you
right.
think?
Right. I love working with diverse companies. I absolutely love it. I love working with the millennials who are moving here. I love the ideas that are being generated. There is so much passion in New Orleans right now. And we often said, and that's why I'm so excited about the New Orleans Angel Network, I often said that it's going to become real when New Orleans becomes an investable asset. Until that happens, it's still a lot of early, and it's still a lot of new. But what I'm seeing here, I've been here 6 years now. My wife is from New Orleans, so I married a woman who's from New Orleans. But it took us a while to get here.
It's in the brochure when you get married.
Apparently so.
A lot of people don't read it.
So
that's
we moved here 6 years ago, and I would argue that 6 years ago, New Orleans was not an investable asset. It was still early. And I would argue it still is relatively early. People would not have been able to pay for our services 6 years ago. So I look at our company in a way as a leading indicator in terms of the traction that's going on in New Orleans right now. I look at the New Orleans Angel Network as a leading indicator, because what they've done is they've said, you know what, we can make New Orleans an investable asset. When local people begin investing, that's what the national people look for. So before you start getting national money coming on down here, whether it be angels or whether it be VC or private equity, they always ask, well, are locals investing? 6 years ago, the answer was kind of no.
Are you eating your own cooking?
Right.
Are you eating your own cooking?
Yeah. Exactly.
Scott Whitaker, Kevin Wilkins. Part of the change in the business climate here is organic, talented people moving here, but an equally important aspect is what some key people do when they get here. Kevin, you're a perfect example of the relatively recent arrival who is making an enormous impact on the city. Scott, you're part of the fabric of the legal and business environment in the city, but you're stepping up and contributing greatly to the new lay of the land, igniting new businesses. The result of your contributions are felt beyond New Orleans, across the state and the country. Thank you both for taking the time to join me on Out to Lunch.
Well, thank you, Peter. I really appreciate it.
Enjoyed it very much.
Thank you. My guests on Out to Lunch today have been Scott Whitaker, angel investor and member of the board of the NOLA Angel Network, and Kevin Wilkins, the founder and managing director of TrepWise. You can find out more about Scott's angels and Kevin's wisdom by following the links on our websites, itsneworleans.com and wwno.org. Our show is recorded live over lunch at Commander's Palace in New Orleans. Commander's Palace serves lunch Monday through Friday, jazz brunch on Saturday and Sunday with live music, not six, but seven nights a week. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical producer is Eric Merle. Our researcher is Matthew Ellefson. Mitchell Foreman wrote and performs all the music on Out to Lunch. Mitch's music, including his latest record, Puzzle, is at mitchellforeman.com. You can get the show as a podcast. You can listen to past shows. You can even keep up with us on all kinds of social media by going to our websites, wwno.org and itsneworleans.com. If you want to know what we look like, and frankly, guests are chosen by their looks, you can find photos from this show on our website and Facebook page. The photos were taken today by Allison Moon. Out to Lunch is a production of INO Broadcasting for itsneworleans.com and WWNO 89.9 FM. I'm Peter Ricchiuti. Thanks for joining me. I look forward to meeting you again next week around the table here at Commander's Palace for more business New Orleans style on Out to Lunch.
Major support for Out to Lunch on WWNO provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with more than 375 attorneys and offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base, joneswalker.com, and from Iberia Bank, offering comprehensive banking services designed to meet the needs of consumer, small business, and commercial clients, serving Louisiana clients for 128 years, and now serving a regional base with a commitment to developing people and investing in its communities, iberiabank.com. Additional support comes from Luba Workers Comp and 30 North Investments.